Our text is found this morning in 1 Kings chapter 22. If you have a Bible, please open it and let's look there together at the Word of God. 1 Kings 22, it's a familiar text here. It wouldn't be in many places, but it's a familiar text here. The story of Ahab and his folly in choosing poor counselors. 1 Kings chapter 22 and verse 1. And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat the king of Judah came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, Know ye that Ramoth and Gilead is ours? And we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria? And he said unto Jehoshaphat, Wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth-Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, and my horses as thy horses. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, Shall I go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, Is there not here a prophet of the Lord beside, that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, There's yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom I may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, Let not the king say so. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, Hasten hither, Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat each on his throne, having put on their robes in a void place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them. Zedekiah, the son of Chenaniah, made him horns of iron, and he said, Thus saith the Lord, With these shalt thou push the Syrians until thou have consumed them. And all the prophets prophesied, saying, Go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand. The messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, Behold now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. Micaiah said, As the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, Go and prosper. The Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand, into the hand of the king. And the king said unto him, How many times shall I abjure thee? But thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord. And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, These have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, Did not I tell thee? He would prophesy no good concerning me but evil. And he said, Hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him, on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, Who shall persuade Ahab that he may go down and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one said on this matter, and another on that manner. And there came forth a spirit, and stood before the Lord, and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, Wherewith? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, Thou shalt persuade him, and prevail also. Go forth, and so do. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets. and the Lord has spoken evil concerning thee. Let's pray. Now, Father, as we read the account of Ahab, if we're honest men and women, we know that nothing much has changed. Men still listen to false counsel and find their lives destroyed. Lord, I pray that you would open the eyes of your people to the truths contained in this passage about proper counsel and how we need to be careful about the people that we listen to and those to whom we would go when we need advice. Oh Lord, life is not a game. Why do people think it is? Why do they think decisions don't have consequences? Why do they think that the advice they listen to is inconsequential? Why do they believe they can direct their own paths contrary to your word and prosper? Why? Why do they believe such folly? Perhaps they're listening to a lying spirit. After all, Lord, we are in a great spiritual battle. And the spirit of wickedness goes forth to deceive those whom he can. We're grateful that you have given us the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God to keep us from falling into the snares of the devil. May we grow sober-minded. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. The world is filled with counselors. There's a multitude that'll be glad to give you counsel. They won't charge you anything. They'll be flattered in that you ask or in that you are willing to listen to them. Every man has those in whom he has confidence. Ahab certainly did. He had 400 of them. Unfortunately, they were not men of God, but men of this world. Did you hear me? Unfortunately, they were not men of God, but men of this world. They had worldly wisdom, no doubt, but they knew nothing of the wisdom that is from above. The Lord Jesus, knowing human nature, said that even those who were redeemed by his grace were but sheep. Were but sheep. And he knew they could not find the way on their own. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Said the thief came not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. That he'd come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And when Jesus ascended to heaven, he appointed his apostles to shepherd the sheep. Peter, chosen by the Spirit of God to be the chief of the apostles, wrote in his letter to those whom God had called into the pastorate, and he charged them to take the oversight of the flock, not by constraint or filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. So God appointed shepherds to counsel his children to keep them in the way of blessing, lest they be devoured by the wolf. That's not my plan, may not be your plan, but it's God's plan. Sadly, the wolf has devoured much of the flock today because men chose not to seek nor heed the Spirit-given counsel of the shepherd appointed over them, preferring the wisdom of their own chosen counselors. Did you hear me? We live in that day when no one needs anyone. Children don't need their parents' wisdom. Young people don't need to talk to those who've been down the road ahead of them. And certainly nobody needs to listen to their pastor. Certainly, that's of all things that is unnecessary, is paying attention to the man of God appointed over you. That's the last thing you want to do. Surely God wouldn't show him anything for your protection. Certainly God wouldn't allow him to have some special wisdom to help you because he appointed you him to that purpose. That could certainly never happen. Or at least if you observe the behavior of the average Christian, that's the conclusion you would have to come to. Sadly, such men and women leave themselves open to the attack of the devil and the deception of lying spirits. Ahab rejected the Spirit of God speaking to the man of God, and therefore he listened to the lying spirit. I want to know there's two spirits. You'll listen to one or the other. You'll listen to one or the other. There are really only two. Let's examine the decision that cost Ahab his life. I want you to notice first that Ahab made his plans before he sought counsel. Verse 3. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, Know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria? And he said unto Jehoshaphat, who was the king of Judah, who was up visiting him, Will thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? Now, I want you to know he had already decided on a course of action. He had determined to go to war with Syria to recover Ramoth Gilead. He didn't ask Jehoshaphat what his opinion was. He only sought to convince him. Will you go with me? He said to his counsel, Don't you know it's ours? What are we doing sitting here doing nothing? Let's go get our property back. And he asked support for the decision that he had already made. Will you go with me, he said. He didn't say, should I go? He said, will you go with me? He already made up his mind. He knew what he was going to do beforehand. And counsel was an afterthought, and it was only considered and consented to after requested by an ally. He wanted to help with the king of Judah. And in verse 5, Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. He said, Well, I'll go with you. I hear, but wait. Maybe, don't you think we ought to ask counsel of God? Now, that's how most folks operate. They decide what they want to do. They make the plans to fulfill it. They go about fulfilling it, and they never take any time to ask for any counsel. And then maybe if somebody says, Well, don't you think, then they go ask looking for endorsement. They have no desire whatsoever to hear counsel. None. They don't need it. I can make my own decisions. I can figure it out for myself. Well, of course, that's how the natural man views life. Counsel was an afterthought, and Ahab didn't want advice. He just wanted everyone to support the decision he had already made. I get so ill with people asking for advice when they have no intention of taking it. They got no intention of taking it. They just want your endorsement so when it falls apart, they can point back and blame you. That's what you want. And sadly, most of you aren't a bit different. Thank you. You're welcome. Very few people in this church ever ask my counsel earnestly. Very, 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 very few. You say, well, you think you're smarter than I am? No, I'm probably dumber. That has nothing to do with it. It has to do with the way God ordered things. It has to do with the fact that there's deceiving spirits out there, and God has appointed a man to help you and put him in the place of leadership, and God reveals through that man wisdom you won't get anywhere else. Exactly the same reason children need to go to their parents. Exactly the same reason children need to go to your parents. Are you always smarter than your children? No. But because God appointed you over them, He is going to give you wisdom concerning them that no one else is going to get. Did you hear me? Because He appointed you over them, He has to give you the authority to lead them. He has to give you the wisdom to direct their lives in the way of righteousness and peace and to protect them. I can call as a parent to God, help me know how to guide my children, and know that God is going to answer that because God put me in the place. God, you put me here. I can't do it. Give me wisdom. God will. It's exactly the same in the pastor. I'll get wisdom. You will never get concerning your life and the decisions you're making. Believe it or not. Believe it or not. Why? I'm so smart, it has nothing to do with my intelligence. It has to do with my position. It has to do with God's plan and that God put me here for your help and protection. You have never been to my office and spoken to me that I didn't pray and ask for wisdom. I challenge one of you to come say I ever said, well, I just know right now and never prayed about it. I challenge one of you to tell me that ever happened in my office. Never did. At least if it did, I don't remember. Because I know I don't have any answers. I don't have any answers. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth liberally and upbraideth not. And that's what I do. I ask for that wisdom. And I can assure you that so many times God's given me things that I would never, ever have thought about. Never, ever. Because God cares about you. He's trying to take care of you. But Ahab didn't want advice. He just wanted everyone to support the decision he'd already made. That's the way most of us are, and we are determined to get that support one way or another. I call this the Ahab method. But let me remind you, he was a very wicked man. And I wouldn't want to follow the methods of wicked men. Most folks don't consult the Word of God or the man of God. Instead, they consult their hearts. How do I feel about this? And how does this affect me? And what do I think is best for me, not what is the will of God? Let me ask you, would Paul have ever of his own human volition gone to prison and sat there for years while he wrote the New Testament? He'd have never done that of his own volition, would you? I'm not even going to the Navy of my own volition. You said, well, you couldn't get drafted in the Navy. Well, I knew I got a draft notice for the other place, so I made a choice. But it really wasn't much of a choice. It was just a choice of services. It wasn't a choice whether to go. It was just a choice which way to go. I would never have made that choice, and yet it was in the plan of God in calling me to preach and preparing me and toughening me for the ministry. Well, I'd have never made that choice. God's choice. His ways are wiser than our ways, and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Amen? Amen. You see, they forgot the warning of God's Word, Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. I think you would be wise to post this on your refrigerator. Jeremiah 10, 23. You see, I get the end of the decision. after you have ignored wise counsel, made a mess out of everything, then you bring me all the pieces, and then I'm supposed to put the egg back together. And then you get frustrated with me when I can't and say, well, the preacher can't help, see? Well, you need to get the help before you make a mess out of it. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. O Lord, I know, Jeremiah knew something, that the way of man is not in himself. Did you get that? Jeremiah, one of God's great prophets, came to a conclusion. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. I can't direct my steps. It's not in me to do that. Well, maybe you're superior to Jeremiah. Maybe you have a closer walk with God and know more of the truth than Jeremiah did, but I don't think so. It's not in man to direct his steps. O Lord, look at the next two words. Do what? Correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger. Lord, correct me in judgment. Don't wait till I get in trouble and then you have to punish me. Don't wait till I get in trouble and I'm corrected by the reproofs of life because I wouldn't listen to wise counsel. Lord, I don't want to learn by the reproofs of life. I want to understand that it's not in me to direct my steps. Oh God, oh Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. He said, you correct me with judgment. You cause me to see and judge and understand the way I ought to go. I don't want to wait till the reproofs of life correct me and I'm brought to nothing. That's what happened to Ahab. He was brought to nothing. Psalm 37, verse 33, that says, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. They're ordered of the Lord. We don't like to be ordered around. We like to order our own steps and then we get in disorder. Not only had he made plans before he sought counsel, he had his own counselors. When pressed to get counsel, he called his 400 hired servants. It says, verse 6, then the king of Israel gathered about 400 men and said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? He had 400 counselors. Now you recognize that prior to this, he had 400 counselors and 400 priests of the of Baal of the groves. There was 800 of them that were gathered before Elijah had gone up on Mount Carmel and had a contest between the false prophets and between himself, and he called fire down from heaven and they couldn't, and then they were destroyed, those false prophets. Now, there were already 400 more. Now, these were his men who were kept because they were loyal to him. He could always count on them telling him what he wanted to hear. And that's the kind of counselors most of you have. You go somewhere for counsel. You go to that person you know will always tell you what you want to hear. To confirm what you've already decided you're going to do. Then Ahab could say, hey, I got 400 wise men behind me. So what? They weren't wise. They just professed to be. So the sheep consult the sheep in order to find out where the wolves are, right? The sheep consult the sheep to decide whether a sheep is a false, is a wolf in sheep's clothing, right? That's real smart. And you know what the sheep do? They destroy themselves. How many of you saw that article about 3 or 4 months ago? I should have brought that this morning. about what happened. I believe it was in somewhere over in the Middle East. Remember where it was, dear? This actually happened. I think it was in Turkey. It was some poor country. Where this, I mean, this happened. They were feeding a flock, and a sheep took off for the cliff, and the other sheep followed him, and something like 500 or 600 sheep jumped off the cliff and were killed. I'm serious. They estimated the loss in the tens of thousands of dollars. That's how many sheep jumped off the cliff following another sheep. I've seen a lot of that. I got the article. I can show it to you. They followed them right off the cliff. That wasn't very bright. Nobody ever accused sheep of being bright. Thank you. You're welcome. Hey, I'm one too. If I don't get leadership from God, I'm just as dumb and hopeless. If the blind lead the blind, shall they not both fall into the ditch? That's what they did. Fell in the ditch. So he had his own counselors, and so do you. Oh, I got counsel, Pastor. I'm sure you did. No doubt about it. And you might have had some wise counselors. I'm not saying that there aren't some wise counselors here. But the truth of the matter is that's not what most people are looking for. And I want you to know these counselors didn't give a hoot about Abraham. About Ahab. They weren't concerned about him. They were concerned about looking good in his sight. Now he was going to go up to Ramoth-Gilead and die. This battle wasn't for his good and his honor. It was to kill him. He was going to die. But they all with one accord, go, prosper. And he was happy to hear it. I guarantee you, you get a yes man or yes woman counselor that always tells you what you want to hear. They're not concerned for your good. They're concerned about what they can get out of you by being your friend and flattering you and making you feel good, etc. And I can tell you absolutely, they were not concerned about what was right. That was the furthest thing from their mind. They didn't consult the Scripture. We don't read about a single one of them consulting the Scripture, and yet they piously claim they were speaking for God. Now look what they said. Verse 6, last half. And they, these 400 prophets, said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. They claim to speak in the name of the Lord. Wasn't that pious? But none of them were God's men. Do you have any counselors that are God's men? I got several counselors I call, and they're all pastors of independent Baptist churches. As far as I know, they're godly men. I call and ask for counsel often. Often. Thirdly, the counsel of the man of God was not sought. Oh, he had 400 false prophets, 400 yes men, 400 people to back him up, but he wasn't interested in the man of God. Never went there. Oh, no. I want you to know the man of God was known of. They knew about him. They knew he was there, but he was avoided on purpose. Verse 7. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord? Besides, we might inquire of him. I want to say that Jehoshaphat at least had enough sense to tell the difference between men of God and false prophets. That's something Ahab didn't have enough sense to understand. Isn't there at least a man of God somewhere? He said, isn't there a prophet of the Lord here besides? Might inquire him. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man. Oh yeah, there's another prophet. Yeah, there's that Micaiah. Oh yeah, I know he's out there, but I didn't want him. No, I didn't call him because he never tells me what I want to hear. Let me tell you what General Patton said. He gathered a war council. He said, when everybody's thinking alike, nobody's thinking. That's what he said. He didn't mind getting counsel from his generals. He didn't mind them having said, oh, I don't think that's correct. Maybe we ought to do it this way. Doesn't mean he just did whatever they said, but he was willing to listen to counsel that was contrary to what he was thinking. Are you? Let me ask you, you've determined you're going this course. Are you willing to even consider that it might not be the will of God? Are you willing to even consider that? Most of the time the answer is a great big no. It certainly was with Ahab. Ahab was not willing to even consider the idea that it might not be a good thing to do. He wasn't willing at all. He was going that way, and didn't matter who said what, that's what he was going to do. And that's how most people live. That's why Satan has such an easy time of trapping and destroying so many Christians. They're such an easy prey. Doesn't find it difficult to swallow you up with deception. You're more than happy to be self-deceived as long as it's going the way you wanted it to go. I know this isn't a very nice sermon. It's too much like the truth. So why was Micaiah so negative? Well, I want to say he was positive. If they'd listened to him, it would have saved Ahab's life. Is that positive or negative? You tell me. You know, many times turning you away from your way is the most positive thing that can happen. It's the most positive thing that can happen. It's only negative in your mind because you didn't want to consider any other way. So they knew he was there. But he wasn't including that original call-up because he wasn't going to say what Ahab wanted to hear. I want you to see that this man was avoided because he was known as a man who always gave only the word of God. Verse 7. And Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him?" And he said, the king of Israel said, "There is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imla, by whom he may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil." Now that's not the worst verse I wanted. Verse 15. Verse 13. And the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, "Behold, now the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good." And Micaiah said, "As the Lord liveth, what the Lord speaketh unto me, that will I speak." I want you to notice then, verse 15, he came to the king, and the king said unto him, "Micaiah, shall we go to battle against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall we forbear?" I want you to know that he answered him with sarcasm. He said, "Go and prosper. Lord, deliver in your hand. That's what you want to hear, isn't it? Go on. That's what you want, isn't it? Go on. Go on up there and prosper. That's what everybody else said. That's what you want me to say. So go on. Go on. Help yourself." I want you to notice the king's reaction. The king said, "How many times shall I abjure thee? Thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord." That's what he was known for. He said, "You're always just going to tell me what the Bible says. That's why a lot of you don't come to me, because I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. You already know what you're going to do really isn't what the Bible says you ought to do. You really don't want to do what the Bible says. That's why you don't talk to me about it." Oh, I'm nice this morning, aren't I? But you know what? The Lord Jesus knows what you're planning. And he knows whether it's according to his word and will. And he's concerned for you as the good shepherd. And he would want to guide you out of that way of destruction if you just let him. And he'd use his man, he said, over you for that purpose if you'd let him. Wake up. So they didn't expect anything else from him but the word of the Lord. That's what he was known for. What the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. Verse 14. I know if I go to this guy, he's just going to give me the scripture. That's what you ought to want. You ought not to settle for anything less. If you go to somebody and they give you something less, you ought to say, I think I'm not going to use that counselor anymore. I mean, can we go contrary to this and be blessed? Can we? Furthermore, pressure had no effect on his message. Verse 13. The messenger that had gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, I can't just see this. He's bringing him along. He said, now look. He said, everybody's agreed that he ought to go up to Ramoth Gilead. They all speak the same thing with one mouth. Now, we just don't need any contention. We just don't need any division. If you would just say the same thing, then everything will be fine and peaceful. So why don't you just go along with the crowd? Why don't you just go along with the majority? Could the majority be wrong? I asked 10 sheep, could they be wrong? Well, all the sheep could be wrong. They all ran off the cliff behind the other one. He said, well, couldn't you be wrong? Yes. I'm human. I'm fallible. Yes, it's true. But the fact of the matter is, ignored counsel is the cause of endless heartache in the lives of people I know. And that's a fact, and I can prove it, but I can't prove it without hurting people and without exposing people and without embarrassing people. And that's not what I want to do. I can go back. My track record's pretty good. About 99%. Is that because I'm smart? No, because God is gracious. And has done what he said he would do. If I'd submit to him, he'd give me wisdom. The tragedy is people didn't listen to it. So, pressure had no effect. I so many times talk to people and they say, well, there's a lot of people that believe like I do. So what? I mean, you go to work and I can tell you, if you take a stand for Christ, you'll be in the minority. In fact, you'll probably be like Micaiah all by yourself. Now Saul says, you're the only nut in this place. That's what they'll say. Where did you come from, outer space? So no, but the one that's living in me did. Amen? It's the truth. If you don't like this world, why don't you go to another? And I said, I'm going to. When he comes, take me there. Wish he'd hurry up. And by the way, when he comes back, I'll like this world, but you won't, because it'll be submitted to his will. But anyway, that's an aside. It had no effect on his message. He wasn't afraid to stand alone. He was the only counselor in touch with God. The only one. And threats and abuse changed nothing. Verse 24. But Zedekiah, the son of Chedaniah, went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way went the Spirit of the Lord for me to speak unto thee? I mean, the false prophet got mad and slapped him in the face. And Micaiah said, behold, thou shalt see it in the day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber and hide thyself. And the king of Israel said, take Micaiah and carry him back unto Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in the prison and feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I come in peace. Now, do you think Micaiah was intimidated? He was humiliated in front of everybody. He was slapped in the face. The king denounced him, said, go put him in the prison until I come in peace. Do you think it silenced him? Not for a minute. Micaiah said, if thou return it all in peace, the Lord's not spoken by me. You want to find out who God's speaking by? You want to find whose counsel is going to stand? Well, you'll find out in a little bit. If this man comes back alive, God didn't speak by me, and you'll find out who God was speaking by. And I want you to notice the words in verse 27. Micaiah said, thus saith the Lord, and the king says, thus saith the king. Let me ask you, whose word stood?
Put him in jail till I come again, thus saith the king. Well, thus saith the king didn't mean anything. I don't care how powerful he was on this earth, and I don't care how determined he was, and I don't care how much support he had. He died. The thus saith the king, and I'll do what I've determined to do and see if you can stop me. God can't. You'll find out whose word will stand in the end. The counsel of the man of God or the counsel of the multitude of counselors that aren't in touch with God. In the end, you'll find out. But it'll be too late. I want you to notice two different spirits are at work, and they always are. The fact of the matter is the majority of these counselors were deceived. Verse 19. And he, this is God's man, Micaiah, said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he shall go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner, and there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord. Let me remind you that Satan and the fallen angels have access to the throne of God in heaven. We're in this great spiritual warfare out here, and Satan goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Permission. Whom he may devour. Permission. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. If you go to a parallel account in 1 Chronicles 18, the word there is entice. Entice. You know what it is to be enticed. That's what men go down to the topless bars. That's their purpose. They want to be enticed. They want their mind drawn into sinful, wicked thinking and behavior. They want to be enticed. That's what the vast majority of women do when they fail to put on proper clothes and prance through the malls. They entice men to wicked thoughts and desires. And it's a hellish wickedness, and I don't know anything more vile than that. But anyway, that was another aside. I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? How are you going to do it? And he said, I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. Do you know that these men, when they opened their mouth, it was a spirit that was speaking through them and not themselves? Do you realize that all 400 of these men, when they stood up to give advice, they didn't give what was in their mind, they gave what the devil put in their mouth. A lying spirit spoke right out of their mouth. To Ahab. He believed it. Now I want to say these 400 prophets may not have been aware of it. I kind of doubt if they were. They probably were earnest. They were sincere, but they weren't spiritual men. They couldn't recognize what a lying spirit was speaking in their mouth. Even Peter had that problem. Peter had it revealed to him that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. When Jesus asked the question, Who do men say that I am? Well, some say that you're John the Baptist risen from the dead. And others say you're Elias. And he said, well, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, well, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood hath not revealed unto thee. That is, the Spirit of God had been speaking to Peter. And then Jesus went on and said, I'm going up to Jerusalem. I'm going to die. I'm going to be crucified and rise again. And Peter said, not you. You're not going up there. Be it far from you, Lord. And the Lord said, get behind me, Satan. The devil was speaking right out of Peter's mouth. The devil was talking right out of Peter's mouth. Peter didn't know it. I wonder how many of the counselors you listen to are really devil speaking lies to you. He said, oh, that, don't start talking that way. Satan's alive and well. You say, but they're a Christian. So was Peter. So was Peter. You see, two different spirits were at work, and they always were. It was 400-1. And those men were speaking a lie right from the devil. You ever talk to a counselor that told you lies? And maybe they didn't even know they were telling you lies. How do you know? Listen to the man of God. Listen to the man of God. If the man of God hadn't been there, the lie would have gone unopposed. The only counsel he'd had would have been the counsel of a devil for his destruction. Thank God the man of God was there. Unfortunately, he didn't listen. At least he had a choice. I know you don't much like this preaching, but it's the truth. But when they were confronted with the truth from the man of God, they refused to accept it. He told them, there's a deceiving spirit that's speaking through you men. He said to Ahab, this is what's taking place. Sure, you got 400 people giving you counsel, but it's all the counsel of one demon. It's not even divided counsel. It's just one demon giving you the same lie through all these different mouths. Let me say, the devil wants to destroy you more than anything else. He'll do anything to deceive you and get you in a spiritual snare and mess up your life. I'll tell you, I've certainly seen people that were listening to those kind of spirits. In verse 24, when he exposed it, they got mad. Zedekiah went near and smote him on the cheek. And that's generally what happens. When the man of God exposes the false counsel you've gotten, you usually get mad at him and take it as a personal offense. He took it as a personal offense. Where'd the Spirit of God go from me to you? But Kaniah said, oh, he took it as a personal offense. Oh, he was mad. I've seen it over and over again where God's people get personally offended when I tell them their way is not the spiritual way and their way is not the right way. And they tell me about all their counselors and I say, frankly, I don't care. It's still not the right way. You see, in the end, it became a pride issue, and that's what usually happens. It becomes nothing but an issue of your stubborn pride. This is what I think ought to be done. No, no, no. Thus saith the Lord, it ought to be this way. Huh. You think you can tell me what to do? You think your way is better than mine? Huh. I'm as smart as you are. I walk with God just like you do. I got a Bible just like you have. My counsel is just as spiritual as you are. Comes a pride issue. Comes a clash of pride in your mind. Rather than, thus saith the lying spirit, and thus saith the Lord. And once it becomes a pride issue, you swell up like a toad. And you wouldn't listen to truth if Jesus Christ himself came and looked you straight in the eye and gave it to you. Because that's the way it was with the Pharisees and Sadducees. Once they got puffed up with pride in their contentions with Jesus, they didn't listen to anything he had to say. To their own destruction, sadly. But in reality, it wasn't a contest between these two men. It was a conflict between two spirits. The Spirit of God speaking through the man of God and the spirit of evil speaking through the false prophets. The truth of God from the man of God had no effect whatsoever on Ahab. He simply continued to pursue his own desires regardless of what the man of God had to say. God's man has the Spirit of God upon him due to his appointment as the shepherd, and God is the one who put him there. 1 Corinthians 4:15. First Corinthians 4:15. You say, well, you just want to run everybody's life. No, I'm just tired of seeing people wreck their lives. I'm just tired of seeing proud, self-willed people trying to direct their own steps and listen to counsel from people that aren't appointed by God to give them counsel and wrecking their lives. It's my job to prevent that if I can. That's what I'm here for. So what do you expect me to promote? 1 Corinthians chapter 4. You say, well, if I had a counselor like Paul, I'd listen. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. They didn't listen to Isaiah. They didn't listen to Jeremiah. They didn't listen to John the Baptist. And you wouldn't listen to them either if you wouldn't listen to the man of God that you have today. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ writing to the church at Corinth. What kind of church was it at Corinth? Spiritual? What was the church like at Corinth? Tell me. Carnal. You know what? One of the things that was obvious about a carnality? They had 10,000 counselors. Everybody under the sun was counseling everybody else. No wonder they were so carnal and mixed up and messed up. Though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, you say, preacher, you're always exaggerating. Look at that. Look at that. You say, was he exaggerating? 10,000 instructors? Well, perhaps, but what he was simply saying is there's instructors everywhere. Everywhere you look, there's a counselor. Sure, you folks are getting counsel from all kinds of folks. Stop listening. Though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you have you not many fathers. He's talking about spiritually. For in Christ Jesus have I begotten you through the gospel. Paul said, I came, you were lost, I preached the gospel, you got saved. I've taught you the scripture, I've taught you the will of God and the way of God, and now you're going to listen to everybody else. He said, that's insane. Most of the people in this church, your spiritual growth took place when you came here. Many of you got saved here. Others got challenged and established here. And though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, you have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus have I begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. He said, I'm the man God set over you. I teach the same thing in every church. You listen to what I got to say. You quit listening to all the rest of those counselors. You listen to the man that God's appointed. So why don't you listen? Lastly, Ahab paid a high price for his choice. 1 Kings chapter 22. He got his way. Verse 29. So the king of Israel. And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth Gilead. Even the king of Judah, who should have known better, didn't back out. A king who actually knew the Lord should have listened to the man of God. He didn't back out. He got his way. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Go ahead, Ahab. I've heard that before. I'm still hearing it. And God's word came to pass as it always does, and he died. Verse 34, and a certain man drew a bow at adventure. This was spoken about here just a few weeks ago. And smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Wherefore he said to the driver of the chariot, turn thine hand and carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. He had the best armor available. There was nothing better than that. But there was a place where the armor came together, and a fellow had just pulled back a bow, and God said, I'll take that. And God took that arrow and he said, go right in there. You get all the counsel you want, but you can't get around the will of God. And you can't get around the word of God. Why, he even told Jehoshaphat, look, you wear your kingly garments and I won't, thinking that he could fool God so the fellow that looked like the king would go into battle and die because he was supposed to die in battle. And I'll just dress like everybody else. Nobody knows who I am. God still knew who he was. He got his way. He paid the price. And so will you. And so will you. And so have some of you.
Amen.
And you still, some of you, don't listen. Thus it has always been. It is known as the course of this world. Ephesians 2:2. I'm almost through. Galatians 2:2. I'll start with verse 1. Speaking to the church, people who are saved, and you hath he quickened, that is, God has quickened or made us alive, who were dead in trespasses. We were dead in trespasses and sins, and we recognized we couldn't save ourselves. And we came to the Lord and asked him to save us. We called upon him for salvation. And though we were dead in our trespasses and sin, the curse of God was on us. And the wages of sin is death. God took that curse off because it was put on his Son on Calvary. When we trusted that finished work, the curse was taken off and we were made alive. Wherein in time past, you walked according to the course of this world. The tragedy is a lot of God's people are still walking according to the course of this world. They've been swallowed up by the philosophies of our age. They refuse to come back to the biblical positions of husband and wife and family and home. They refuse to do it. It's not convenient. It's not what they planned. It's not what they want to do. They walk according to the course of this world. I want to say, if the world is applauding everything you're doing, you're not doing it right. You have an endorsement of the world, and the world thinks you're wise, you're a fool. Ahab had the endorsement of the world, and it killed him. It's the course of this world. It's according to the prince of the power of the air. That's the devil himself. The spirit that now worketh. There's a spirit that is working today. It's the same spirit that was working in Ahab's day. It is the spirit of the children of what? Look at the word. The children of what? Disobedience. That's how you can tell that spirit's in control of your life when you don't obey the man of God and the word of God. It's the spirit of disobedience. I'll do it my way. And you'll do it according to the course of this world. And you'll do it to your own destruction. And you'll act like a man or woman who was never ever saved. That was the condition before you got saved. You didn't know any different. Of course you followed the course of this world. It seemed wise. It seemed clever. It seemed like it would come out right. Everybody was doing it. Everyone was endorsing it. What a tragedy. When you got saved, you still listen to the same advice from the same place. Actually, this is the advice of the devil himself. You see, it's according, the course of this world is according to the prince of the power of the air. The earth is marching under the control of this spirit of disobedience. No wonder everything's getting worse and worse and more wicked. So God's children dress like the world and talk like the world and have the same desires as the world, and you can't tell them from the world, and something's bad wrong. They got the wrong counselors. So the majority is always under the influence of the prince of the power of this day and of this world, and it always results in disobedience. I mean, in Noah's day, only 8 men and women got it right. All the rest of them were deceived and destroyed. All of them. But most people, but the majority, so what? That probably tells you it's wrong. Straight is the gate. And narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Broad, wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Which way are you in? Where are you getting your advice? It's always been this way. When time came to enter Canaan, 10 spies were against 2. The 10 were wrong. The people listening went out in the wilderness and died. When God man told them, you didn't go in, you're going to go out in the wilderness and die. They changed their mind. Oh, we're going to go in. And he said, don't go in. They said, no, we're going in. He said, don't go in. We're going in. They went and they got defeated by the enemy. Thousands of them died. Why?
They didn't listen to the right counselor. I could go on and on and on, but I want you to look at Acts chapter 27 and I'll be done.
You study this book and over and over and over again you'll find a contest between two spirits. The spirit of this world and the truth being given by the man of God. Thus saith the Lord, and they did this. And thus saith the Lord, and they did that. And thus saith the Lord, and they did the other. And thus saith the Lord. And over and over and over and over and over and over again, it's always the same. God put it here so you could read and see when you go against the Word of God, it's always going to lead to your destruction every single time. Why don't you get wise counsel? What's your problem? Acts chapter 27, verse 9. Paul is being sent to Rome to be tried. Now when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past the time of year, when they had passed the fasting time, the time of year, it's establishing what time of year it is. Paul admonished them, the man of God admonished them, and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only to the lading and ship, but also of our lives. The man of God gave a warning. I perceive. Now you say, wait, Paul. Do you have a degree in weather forecasting? Well, no. Well, why should we listen to you? Well, are you a shipmaster? Well, no. Then why should we listen to you? Well, Paul, how many years have you spent sailing? Well, not really any. I've taken some trips in my missionary journey, short trips. But well, why should we listen to you? Well, where do you know? Well, he happened to be in touch with God.
He knew more than any of them because he was in touch with God. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. I want to say the time of sailing is dangerous. We're down in the end days. And I don't care what the subject is. If it has to do with your life and your future, if you come ask me, you'll get more wisdom than you will on your own or anywhere else. Why? Because that's the way God ordained it. You see, Paul stood up and said it. Paul stood up. He boldly stood up and said, listen to me. If you take this voice, it's going to be disastrous. Well, why did he do that? Why was he so arrogant? He wasn't arrogant. He was trying to save some lives. And so, because the haven was not commodious to winter in, they didn't like their situation. Because you don't like the situation you're in, and you don't like me telling this is the will of God, and you want to get out of it, move away, go somewhere else, take a different job, whatever, whatever, whatever. The more part advised to depart thence also. Yeah, the more part. Big crowd said, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's get out of this place. Who wants to be stuck here? If by any means they might attain to Phoenix and there to winter, which is the haven of Crete that lieth toward the southwest and the northwest, and when the south wind blew softly, supposing that obtained their purpose, loosing thence they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a mighty tempestuous wind called Euroclydon, and the ship was caught. Why didn't they just listen to the man of God? Why didn't they just listen to the man of God? Everything that follows, they got in all that trouble, they didn't listen to the man of God. Thus it will always be. The better part said, let's go. But they weren't in touch with God. Who are you listening to? A seducing spirit?
a lying spirit. It gives advice according to the course of this world, under the direction of the prince of the power of the air, the devil himself. Don't tell me the devil still isn't speaking that way. The Bible says in the last days, men will give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. To whom are you listening? And how would it come out in your life? I can tell you with great grief that failure to listen to my counsel has destroyed many, many lives. How do you feel about that, Pastor? Horribly grieved to the depths of my soul. I don't want to do any more grieving. You better watch. You better listen. And you better give heed when it's given, or your ship will wreck. Let's pray. Lord, all I'm trying to do is save people from heartache. That's all I'm trying to do. It's not that I need folks to come crowd my office. I got plenty of work to do. That's not the issue. The issue is, Lord, you do protect your sheep with the shepherd. That's why you appointed one. You do take care of them if they'll listen to that shepherd and follow him. You keep them from the wolf, the deceiver, the liar has come to destroy. That's why you gathered us together in a flock, so that you could exercise your oversight over their lives and keep them in the flock and safe, comforted one with another and encouraged in the way in which they should go. I beg of you, Lord, change men's minds about counsel. Tear down their stubborn will that rises against truth when it goes against what they want to do. Speak, Lord, to the heart of that man or woman that's here today that needs to be saved. They are under the total control of the prince of the power of the air. They've never been made alive spiritually, and they can't even understand truth until they get saved. Draw them to yourself. Let them see how you love them and care for them and want to bring them into the protection of the fold of God. May no one turn away the counsel of the Holy Spirit speaking to their souls this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.